from
I keep
you.
Him in a cage.
But these people, they're not even knowing, realizing how like offensive their conversations are, because this is the way they talk. This is the way they think. This is the way most of the world thinks. This is why we do what we do. To try. I noticed that if you just say something, if you speak up once, sometimes that can change their point of view. Or that change their point of view, but realize at least how they could offend somebody.
Yeah, because I, like, honestly, like, it was funny. Like, with the conversation, like, in Louisiana, that wasn't meant to be offensive to anybody. I just, honestly, I believe that was a conversation of people that haven't had a lot of exposure to other cultures. Mm-hmm. And really, that was my take on it. There are some mean-spirited racist conversations, mm-hmm. and I think it's important to know the difference, you know. If somebody's talking, like, you know, like clan talk or whatever, don't even debate. There's no point in it.
I believe exactly what you're saying, because there's some people who, like, they look at themselves, they're not racist, but they still will say that black person or that Mexican, even if you're freaking, you know, I don't know, from Chile. You know what I mean? They're everybody's Mexican and everybody's black and white, and that's the way it goes. Or, and you know, and you're Asian, or you're Chinese. Everybody's Chinese, even if you're Filipino.
But they may be
speaking about them, and they're talking, they're speaking a regular conversation, like, oh, like, my fiancé grandfather identifies everybody by my Chinese friend, my whatever friend. But
no,
it's like, the thing is, they're like addressing them, or how do you say, labeling them, like, in the wrong ethnicity. They're just doing it because of, like, the bias, but it's like unconscious biasness. So where you just be like, okay, no, this, I think it takes like a real activist or a person who really is like, okay, I'm gonna fight against racism. It like takes a lot to be able to be like, to want to be like, okay, I'm gonna identify you by exactly what you are. Most of the world does that, and they don't realize that they're being offensive, that I'm just gonna say that you're this
somebody,
because they're just having regular conversations. But to me, if I hear it, or if anybody hears, you're gonna be like, damn, you're thinking that could be offensive. But to them, it's like taboo, like offensive. I'm just saying what they are.
Right,
let them know, like, okay, well, you know what, some people don't like to be called, this is what they are, this is why they're called that. And if you let them know sometimes, then after that, they'll realize that. Like, I was at the other day, and I was like, oh, my friend, blah, 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 they're retarded. And I didn't know. The girl who I was talking to, her child, she has a child
there
who was, like, mentally disabled.
Right,
and
right. So anybody can do it. Yeah.
Yeah, and she told me, she's like, oh, my God, don't say that, you know, because it's not like to preach to everybody all the time. Do not, you know, try to identify people by anything else but their race, because that's how we single out the world. Is everything has to do with somebody's race, and it's not about that. And it's like, I'm saying this, not, I'm not even knowing. You know, I've called people, like, oh, I've been like, oh, you're retarded. You know what I mean? But I didn't even
think about it. It's like calling somebody gay.
Yeah, I didn't even think
about
it.
God, that's gay. That's a gay book. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
and I used to say that. I'd be like, oh, that's gay. And it's just like, I'm not even thinking about it.
You know, somebody's like, wow, you're using a derogatory term for somebody of a different sexual orientation.
But she was saying, too, but she had said to somebody, like, oh, somebody was dumb, but somebody's child or whatever, you know, like,
gotcha.
If you can't hear, can't. So it's just like, you gotta just watch it. And once you say something, normally people know. So if you hear people with a conversation, you don't have to be like, hey, that's, you know, because maybe they don't know. That's how we have to address and come to their level. I know we have to shrink our brain a little bit, come to their level and be like, dude, this is, you know, that may be offensive to these people. The correct pronunciation is this, because I'm sure you would like to be, you know, identified correctly to your people, because, you know, they would get offended if somebody says, you know, this or this and that. And get offended if somebody calls you, you know, if you're white and you think it's okay for somebody to call you.
You can call me a cracker.
You know, like, I say, get offended, like, get offended,
no,
because, like,
kidding.
You're European, or you're something, we are something, that's why, like, America has no culture.
You know,
God damn it, I'm ranting.
America does have a culture.
America has, like, a cheesy culture.
It's a, I don't know.
I think
that's another
culture,
show.
I think the most culture that America has is the fact that people hear from other cultures and they bring that
in.
Well,
it's a mixing pot. Yeah. That's a culture.
But the
break
subcultures. It down is like America actually having a culture. I can't find it. You know what I'm? Do you understand? Like,
cultures.
Cuba has culture.
Cuba.
Like, we are a culture because some people.
Well, it's an immigrated culture.
It's so diverse.
Oh yeah.
And that's an awesome culture. But I'm saying, as alone, like, if I go to, but if I go somewhere else, people may say that's part of your culture, but not really, because I do this because of the Mexican,
actually, though,
and I do this because of the African American.
But you've
got to
think of it not as somebody that's living in the United States, because, like, if you would go to Europe, for example, people would know by things you talk about that you were
from America. That's what I'm saying. But
America's culture is built on.
But are the things that you do because of, like, the things that I do, or may say, it's because of, like, maybe African American in me, or the Hispanic in me, you know what I mean? Or, like, that part of the culture.
Yeah,
from
parents.
But that's
definitely.
Still, that's not America.
Well, like, take Los Angeles. Los Angeles is a very Latin influenced city, because it is. I mean,
that's what I want to say. America's influenced by, like, other places, period.
Well,
I feel.
Well, like, take New York. I mean, or, like, for example, like, I know. In times, you know, where they have ethnic neighborhoods, there's a very, like, Irish-influenced neighborhood, or there's a very, like, Italian-influenced neighborhood. And that's, you know...
And sometimes they are... Go ahead.
No. I'm just thinking out loud. No. So, influences, and we were just talking about And I joked, actually, it's funny, because two of the guys at 286 are from Argentina, as most of you guys know. And I always tease them. I said, when you get across the Mason-Dixon line, you're Mexican, buddy. It doesn't matter. Everybody's just going to call you Mexican.
But I'm just, like, so, like, whipped, like racism. I don't know. I try to speak on it as much as possible. Because I've had it happen to myself. I've had it happen to family members. And it's just, like, false racism. At least if you're going to be racist against me, like, on the right thing. You know what I mean? Like, don't be racist against me.
Dude.
Because for that moment, I'm going to be that. If you're saying you're just a dirty this and I'm not that, I'm like, I'm not that. Be politically correct, guys. Darn
it. Be politically correct, racist.
And then we could correct you politically correctly. Yeah. We could correct you on the right. Correctly. Let's get organized here, darn it.
I saw this was a great one. I was on a right. I did a work and it's not available on Kilrea's website, but it will be on the Zapatista Army of National Liberation, and it's going to be available for free download. The university edition will be on the internet.
At least charge 50 cents.
No. I'm gonna get a bigger one published, like, because I have a triple one, so it'll actually. Yeah, so that one will be out. And what it is, it's funny, in the disinformation campaigns done mostly by the right about, by the right, talk about Subcomandante Marcos as an Ecuadorian terrorist. They don't even have the right place done. He's not from Ecuador. He's from Mexico. But the fact that they labeled him from the wrong place makes it, automatically casts a shadow of accuracy over your particular argument. Because right away, if you get one fact wrong, it then becomes something that's people are going to view it as factually incorrect, even if everything else in the argument is correct. So it's kind of like using a word. Mike Tyson uses a lot of words incorrectly. If you use a word wrong once, even if you use it right like five times, people are only going to remember the one time you do it wrong. It's going to cast a shadow on everything that you say. So a lot of arguments and people, and I'm saying this sake of argument, when you are making an argument, if you keep your argument consistent, make sure that your facts are right, people are going to take you a lot more seriously. But the minute that you present a fact that's incorrect, it's automatically going to cast a shadow on the rest of your discussions. And it's pretty crazy. We're going to talk a little about disinformation in the media whenever we get back from the next break, when we're going to talk about Into the Buzzsaw. And then I promised I'd throw in a little blurb about the Da Vinci Code there. But for right now, we're going to play a song called Hooked on Christ from Behind Enemy Lines. Enjoy.
Stack and generously bankroll our glorious mission. trying to register to vote, you're upholding the law. It's the one who tries to prevent you from registering to vote who's breaking the law. And you got a right. You got a right to protect yourself by any means necessary. And if the government doesn't want civil rights groups going, equipped, the government should do its job.
Emotionally, provide emotionally. American mass media is a marvel of technology. It is whiz-bang, sparkle glitter, and satellite wizardry. It is a master plan of methods to communicate in a pauper's worth of substance. With such technology, how are people so woefully misinformed? The average American neither knows nor cares about the vast world beyond the nation's border. The average American student knows little math, no history, and very little geography, and nor does he or she want to know. Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly. On November 2nd, 1995, the United Nations General Assembly voted overwhelmingly, 117-3, to condemn the United States for its continuing blockade of Cuba. The international community called the United States blockade a flagrant act of aggression and a blatant violation of international law. That the UN vote was reported at all in American media is amazing, for such news is more often than not passed over entirely by the American press. But where was information about the blockade itself, the effects suffered by the Cuban people, in-depth comments from United Nations delegates and leaders around the world? For a more substantive report, one had to listen to the BBC World News Service, for the rest of the world takes note of events the U.S. prefers to ignore. American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them. Every media enterprise in America reports the drivel that Marsha Clark and Chris Darden are secret lovebirds, but the vote of a global assembly condemning U.S. actions received only scant coverage at best. Why? The media is a source of titillation more than information. The mission of the media is to please, to comfort, and primarily to sell. When TV was developed, it was promised that every American would learn about the world in his living room. When computers were developed, wasn't it said that they would be invaluable learning tools and that children would learn more faster? National scholastic tests show otherwise, as kids master computers as toys and learn splendid hand-to-eye coordination, but little else. The media paints false pictures of the nation and the world, pictures designed to serve corporate masters and to make America look good. This feel-good media approach serves the American delusion of white supremacy, but it does not inform. When the New York Times echoes the National Star, what can the word media mean? How could millions be surprised at Minister Farrakhan's enormous influence among blacks unless the media wasn't doing its job? How could they look at a million and count less than half that number? The major media, like its racist projections, is to be rejected, not consumed, for your very patronage gives it life. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu Jamal.
Show. and bump cars, suck cheap cigars, and he candied up his nose. He got wind of the big brown beaver, so he thought he'd dig himself a peek. But the beaver was quick, and he grabbed him by the kiwis, and he ate his bowl. Said I sure do love this big brown beaver, and I wish I did have a pair. And the beaver once slept for 7 days, and it gave us all an awful fright. So I tickled his chin, and I gave him a pinch, and the bastard tried to bite. Well, I know to love her big brown beaver, and she stroked him all the time. She put her finger one day, and I turned to her smile.
Oh, I wasn't even talking. Welcome back to the CDP, the Civil Disobedience Project. Had my microphone turned off. Adam and Ariel are back. Ariel's car has moved. She will not get a ticket right now.
And, I was going to come back really happy, really pissed, and I'm happy, but I ran pretty fast.
Yeah, so it worked out. And we talked to... We got to get it more into the political stuff. We've had fun talking about touring and a lot
We're
of other things.
We're talking about some of the best stuff, like off of the mic.
Yeah, off the mic, we've actually been talking about more relevant items. But, Just so you know, if you guys want to shoot the crap with... Shoot the crap. You can shoot the shit with us about politics or whatever. Whoa! I'm sorry. That was weird.
This computer's possessed. It was possessed
by the voodoo doll. The voodoo doll.
See, we can
that I brought back from New Orleans.
No,
see, yeah. Uh-oh. This, we're going to get we're gonna get into more of the political game here. But one of the things we were discussing was... this is a big debate. Everybody wants to. The liberals say that the media is conservative because it's owned by corporations. The conservatives say the media is liberal, although they own it, because it only reports on subjects that the stupid liberals would like. So we have two different dynamics going. The liberals say we have a liberal media, and the conservatives say we have a liberal media, and the liberals say we have a conservative media. And both of those conversations have merit. However, they both miss the point. Because, yes, they're both right. That's the problem. The point that they miss, and this is a great book to read, it's called Into the Buzzsaw. It's the foreword is by Gord Vidal, and it's edited by Christina... Oh, I'm going to mess this up. Borgeson. I'm going to say, and if I pronounce it wrong, Christina, call me up and yell at me. But it's basically a collection of journalists that have written in and explained how they've been censored by the media. These aren't right-wing journalists. These aren't left-wing journalists. They're just journalists that say how their stories have been censored. And some of the stories have been censored due to corporate sponsorship. Mm-hmm. That's one way they've been censored. Other things have been censored because they're not interesting and they're not stories that sell, although they're good stories. So that would be...
The public only wants to hear certain things.
Exactly. So... They joke, if it was a story about a puppy or a human interest story, a story with no intellectual bearing whatsoever, and it had to be, and it was too long to develop, it would censor itself, mm-hmm. which is essentially not either the conservative or Republican censoring it. It's the 15-minute mass culture mm-hmm. that's become like pretty commonplace with the news right now that censors itself. So in many cases, their own media is censoring itself. There's a quote in here that says that was actually marked for me by a friend of mine, and it says, I'm going to tell you who the author of it was here in a second. It's from an essay called Shouting at the Crocodile. I don't agree with all the things that Maurice Murad says in this article, but that's okay. Why should you agree? If you agree with everything somebody says in their writing, you're probably not reading hard enough. Then you're a robot. Then you belong to the Lyndon LaRouche campaign, who called me again and got yelled at. My response to the Lyndon LaRouche campaign is that don't come anywhere near me or I will strike you. I'm angry
Very
with
blunt.
Them.
Yeah.
Very blunt. I've told them this. These fascist supporting posers as leftists will not leave me alone. When you see the man with the stripe in his goatee and dreadlocks walking down the boulevard, keep your drones away from me. I will treat you the same way I treat skinhead Nazis when they come up to me, because you're no better. Is that clear? Now, on to the shouting at the crocodile point. Cool quote. It says, on one level, we needn't worry. The concept of a liberal media or the conservative media is so much bourgeois. The media is market-driven, period. Whatever sells super stories gets the air in the newspaper. While it is true that most of the people run big business are conservative, conservatism seldom trickles into the reporting, except on Fox News, where the mission is to appeal to a conservative audience. Mm-hmm. Now, I do agree with portions of this quote, and portions of this quote I disagree with. I'm going to break it down where he's wrong, because I'm good at this. Telling people where they're wrong. He says that conservatism very rarely trickles into the media. That is the biggest load of bullshit I've ever heard in my entire life.
I think it kind of runs a lot of the media.
It does run it, because media is controlled by corporations. Corporations mm-hmm. are conservative. So in that regard, there is conservative sponsorship that dictates what kind of stories can be said. Look at the Howard Stern show going mm-hmm. off the air. It's been a big deal with the corporations pushing things on that. But the big thing about that is it does trickle in, because, number one, there's no left-wing political show. We don't have the Howard Zinn hour. Mm-hmm. We don't have the Noam Chomsky hour. What we do have is the O'Reilly factor. What we do have is that idiot with the bow tie on TV. Mm-hmm. What we do have, Tucker Carlson. What we do have is the Rush Limbaugh OxyContin campaign. What we do have is all these conservatives that have their own meat out. In Pittsburgh, we have an idiot called Quinn on the radio. And these are conservative media things. There is no left-wing media show. These are right-wing media shows, and they're in every Clear Channel market. Everybody has got one. Mm-hmm. And if it's a liberal media, why are there only big conservative programs like this? Why are left-wingers like myself, which I hate even using a term left-winger, because I'm not even left-wing all the time. I'm just a thinker. You know, why are we forced to go onto internet radio, into things like Kill Radio? And the answer is because our stories aren't selling. And the answer is because we don't have corporate backing. That is conservative dominance. On the other hand, the reason that the media is not totally conservative is because pure conservatism doesn't always sell. So stories that are like about puppies and human interest stories and other kind of stories that are like, you know, talk about crime, scare, like the sky is falling stories, I could see where people would think that they're left-leaning. But they're market-leaning. It is a business, and businesses go out to markets where they make money. You don't try to sell gospel albums at Amoeba Records. You know, you sell gospel albums at gospel events. It's market. It's supply and demand. It's economics. And that's what the media is. And if you want to read about censorship in the media, you should check it out. And in other places, this is a really cool book. And It's just what I'm saying is, and I think Arrow was going to add something, is that it's not liberal nor conservative. It's just, it's a market-driven entity, and that's the point. That's the underlying thesis of Into the Buzzsaw, and it's really cool articles that I believe that people should read. Not swallow wholeheartedly, but believe it or not, some people read things, and guess what? They still read the whole book even though they don't agree with everything in it. Imagine that, because a lot of people... know your enemy. Thank you. If you ask me to tell you about Mein Kampf, I'll tell you all about it. Why? Because I sat down and read it. If you ask me to tell me about the Bible, I will sit down and tell
that's
you all
the
about
thing,
it.
Like,
I've read it.
At Jeff's job, like, there are all these Bush supporters. But the thing is, like, well, like, in a sense, I know more about what they're supporting than they
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
And it's like, why is that? Why am I telling you,
no, they
why
know
am
about
I telling
it.
You about what the person you're
no, they
supporting?
Know about it.
Viva
Bush.
They know about it.
Vote Freedom First.
Like, no, some people are more for these certain things. Yeah, like, do you know he does this? You know he does that? Why am I telling you? Like, why am I telling you what you believe, and why am I also telling you what I believe? Like, do your research.
It's and just to be fair, there's as many people in left-wing circles that show up to, like, the... to like anti-war benefits and stuff, and they have no idea, and they're always the people the media hits with the they get the person, they're like, the war's a racist war overseas, and why? Because Bush is a racist.
Yeah.
Why? Texas. And I'm like, okay, please get this moron off the screen. Yeah. Although this moron, quote, would be on my team, if you will. I don't want them on my team. They would be the person that got picked last in gym class.
We went to this rally in Hollywood about a year ago, and it was an anti-war rally. I'm not sure which one it was. But anyways, we went down to it, and we're sitting there, and I'm just like, the resolution is revolution. And I'm wilding out, right? And people start crowding around me. They're like, okay, we want to know what's going on. Like, they did not know information. They knew they didn't support it, but they didn't know why. So I'm sitting there with, like, 15 people around me, like, speaking, like, oh, and this and this and this and what. And then, like, one of the radio stations, it was a Spanish radio station, but, hey, I said what I had to say.
Right.
And it was like that. People go, and therefore, I mean, but I understand, like, I want people to go who have questions, who don't know, and who want
to
know.
Right,
but it's
and
like,
to
the
learn.
Media does always happen to get those. They never
they
get
them.
Like, oh,
man, they
on
get
TV,
them.
And it's like, the activist is his first rally, and he's just like.
But look, let's take that into the context of Into the Buzzsaw. It's good TV.
Yeah.
It's good reality television to have people with strong opinions and no backing. It's the same way they pick the people for the real world, like on MTV. Mm-hmm. You pick a bunch of people that you know there'll be controversy among. So you pick the ultra-conservative guy. You pick the ultra-left-wing person that has no basis or factual basis for their arguments, and you let them argue. I mean, they do it to conservatives, too. I mean, they cut to Charlie Daniels of the Charlie Daniels Band on CNN to talk about a conservative subject matter. Why would you cut to a country music singer to tell us about...
But you see, that's the same conversation that I got in with the actual radio station. Was the debate, I guess it was, start off as a conversation, is the fact that, you know, I was just basically there to inform about acts of justice and what we feel. And then they, like, went into this whole thing of how, you know, the stereotype of, like, liberal or activist or whatever. And then, and it turns into this whole thing where it's like they feel that they can do whatever they want to do. They're independent radio too. Like, we have it all twisted on how we think media is lie. You know, media is lies. It's not true. We're owned by so and so, some guy. We could do whatever we say. So look at this. But now I swear to you, ever since I met with them, that next, like, 3 weeks later, every 5 seconds you'll hear independent radio. So and so. I'm not going to say the radio station, but every single time. But it's still.
No, please say there. Please say the station.
Okay, it's X99.9 in San Bernardino County.
Is it a clear channel station though?
Because
you know, Indy 103 in Los Angeles is a clear channel station, and they call themselves independent radio.
I don't know, but they call themselves independent. But now I'm serious. It was after that whole meeting, after the whole thing came, where it's just like, well, I said, well, can you guys do this? Can you guys do that? I said, you know, there's other news, other things that's really going on in the streets, other than what club you're going to be at tonight. And
they
it was
can't.
Like, they still continue to do that, but they slap on. Independent.
They're not independent media, and I'll tell you why. Because they're based. A radio station runs based on sponsors, and there are whores to their sponsors because sponsors will pull the plug. No, they can't say and do anything they want to do.
While they're telling me they're independent, they're still
because
telling
it's market driven.
Things they can't cover that things that Access is going to be involved in.
Right.
They couldn't cover a rally because, and I
Why?
Said exactly
because their sponsors said you can't cover that rally. So basically, no,
Which
you're not independent.
The majority of their listeners are going to be this way because this is what they're hearing, and that's what we need.
You may actually be more independent than say, like. K-Rock, you know, but that doesn't make you independent. What you really have to observe the term independent and who's throwing it around, because it's like grassroots. It's become a pretty popular buzzword these days. But we're going to take a break. Anyway. We're going to cut back. We're going to play this Never Say Die, these guys in the Baby Stealing Hurricane. We're going to play their song called The Death of Mustache Metal.
So is it Never Say Die, like, wah?
I don't know. Whoa. I wish they would tell me. I love these guys. And, again, check them out on Paper Street Records. They crack me up. We're going to play them. And then we get back. If you my pet peeve. I'm going to rant about that before we leave. When we get back in Amp Magazine, say a quick thing about the Da Vinci Code. Then we're going to be out of here, and we're going to try to get this show uploaded today. Hopefully, that'll all work out square. But
we need more time, man.
We need more time.
Take Jake's time.
We can take Jake's time.
It's open.
It is open. We could keep going, but we'll discuss that later another time. What I want to explain is that where you catch Ariel and I this weekend.
Oh yeah.
All right. Like you said, we're in demand people, and a lot of people want to come up to us and kick us in the head. Except if you're a Lyndon LaRouche person, don't come to these places. I don't want
like
you there.
On the edge, honestly.
I hate these people.
Honestly.
Don't come there. Don't come there. Nazi, fascists, get away from me. And
it's going to be fun when I see them.
Oh, I'm going to go off on them. They're worse than Scientologists.
Whoa.
Yes, I said it. I said it. Whoa. They're worse than Scientologists. And I'm getting ready to read. I just read L. Ron Hubbard's FBI files. The dude is crazy.
Yeah. How is that?
He's a nut. He wrote a letter from Cuba when he was there that he was in to the FBI.
Yeah.
He sent it out in a wire that he was in danger, that the communists were coming to get him.
Okay.
He also said that people infiltrated his house, and he thinks it was the communists next door. He also found Nazis in his neighborhood and thought the FBI needed to.
Wow.
Dude's a kook. It's so funny. I was like, and you know.
I was wondering how
many
that would go.
Many good writers are kooks.
The same book I think we are.
This was his actual FBI files.
Oh, okay. Wait, is that the guy who has the book, though, about the FBI files, and he's on the cover, and he's like...
L. Ron Hubbard's the guy who wrote Scientology.
Oh, wait, never mind.
He invented a religion. He was a science fiction writer that invented...
That
invented the religion.
I thought we were talking about the guy who really did the FBI file book, but never mind.
We got some of those too. That's an okay. Yeah, no. L. Ron Hubbard is a science fiction writer who wrote sci-fi books that invented a religion called Scientology. People say he did it on a bet, but I don't know that that's neither true nor untrue.
But that's kind of like the whole South Park analogy of the guy who like invented Mormons.
Yes,
have you seen
yes,
that?
Yeah.
I mean, a guy who like came up with Mormons, how he just like pulled out. It was
he
like
did.
Funny.
Do you want to know about that too?
We can talk about that.
Okay. Joseph Smith was a charlatan, and this is the guy who founded Mormonism. And he was a failed businessman, and he had all these problems his entire life. And one day, the prophet, Moroni, came to him and gave him magic spectacles. this is from the Book of the Mormon, guys. You can't even call him bitch me up. Gave him magic spectacles and told him to find magic plates that have another testament of Jesus Christ in them. So he found these magic plates, and when you put on magic spectacles, it showed what the plates said. Mm-hmm. From these plates that only he has seen... Through magic spectacles, he wrote an entire religion called Mormonism.
He was the only one that's seen it, and everybody follows.
And the people that found the plates have been blown up. Literally. No, they got blown up. The people were blown up. People that supposedly found the plates and thought that they had nothing to do with anything because they were deciphering them were actually mysteriously blown up. This is true. This is fact. Check me on
it,
guys.
That's why he's like literally the only one that has seen them, quote-unquote.
And Joseph Smith, in his magic spectacles, they eased up on the magic spectacles in the... Yeah, but yes, I have read the Book of the Mormon. I have Mormons in my family. I'm an encyclopedia of useless... religious...
I seriously think like all false religions are demonized. But anyways, okay.
I read the Encyclopedia of Demonology, too. You want me to go off
really?
On that? Yeah. I sit around when I'm bored and I read. The only cool thing I do is play in a rock band. I sit around and I read religious textbooks.
I think reading is cool.
Yeah, I have an encyclopedia.
I think knowledge is like the hottest thing. For any guys who want to know it, I think it's hot.
Knowledge is hot.
Knowledge is hot.
But anyway, still, it's available. Again, you know, being that I do know so much about religion and I'm a reverend, I'm going to bring in my degree. You can still buy your salvation from me by PayPaling me from 286music.com, and I'll buy you a ticket to heaven. And I haven't hit my mark yet. Do you want to know what the biggest donation to the 286 fund has been?
What?
Guess. How much?
$1,000.
Higher.
$10,000.
No, too high. Damn, I'd be in good shape.
$5,000.
No.
$3,000.
$1,800.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
From who? Well, is it undisclosed information?
It's undisclosed information.
Oh.
But we bought a trailer with it. It was cool. No, the person actually bought us a trailer.
Why? Were they a fan?
It's a friend. It's a friend and a fan, and it's somebody that Pete knows very well.
A friend and a fan with money.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really cool. They did. That's where we got our trailer from. So we bought a trailer with it, and we've got a 286 trailer. It's sweet.
How has the donations been since then?
Not very good. If you take $5 donations besides that. We might be over 2,000, counting that 1,800 that they gave us.
Oh.
So that means like we probably had another 200 since January.
Wow.
Not a lot of people want salvation. God. Bastards. Those people are getting salvation $1,800 times over and over again.
You guys should do like one of those religious drives.
I'm trying. Hey, this is the Never Say Die in the Baby Stealing Hurricane, the death of mustache metal.
What kind of rat bastard psychotic would play that song right now at this moment?
Like
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're back to the Civil Disobedience Project. We're just showing Ariel. For those of you who are familiar, on the Gorilla Underground, you can go there and we have a web blog that we put up. And you can check out like most of our press releases and stuff that we do from the Civil Disobedience Project. And most of the political things you can always get on there, like from the Zapatista Red Alert to the South Central Farmers, you can get it on that site. And now Ariel's going to be posting stuff on there too as well.
I have cool information.
Yeah, and you can actually log on and you can leave your own comments about it. We're going to be getting ready to go here shortly, but there's a couple promises we made. One is that I'm going to tell you what I'm ranting about. Then I'm going to tell you about
guys and ties.
And we played some stuff there that I'm sure you're familiar with, but the Da Vinci Code. All I have to say is it's a cool book.
Don't get offended.
Don't get offended. It was written as fiction. The organizations the guy talks about are based in fact. People are saying that Opus Dei doesn't exist. The Opus Dei does exist. They're a Catholic sect. They do use corporal mortification. Corporal mortification is going to be the name of my death metal band. What that is, it's a little band that with spikes that people put around their leg and they tighten it up to emulate the sins of Jesus so they can feel the pain.
Oh.
So you have spikes digging into your skin. They do that. Not everybody in Opus Dei does that, but it is something that exists. The Vatican Bank does exist. The Priory of Sion does exist. It does. It has existed. It's a legend, okay? If you don't agree with what he made it up, that's because he took facts and made a fictional story.
Don't believe everything
it's called historical fiction. The Knights Templar. How many stories have been written about the Knights Templar? Hey, guys, you've read Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. You've read the Mort d'Artur. You've read all the Arthurian legends, and nobody got all their brains up in a tizzy over it. In 2005, the church is still getting mad about these things. It's okay. It's entertainment. Now for my next rant.
See, we're using Jesus for entertainment.
Yes.
What does the world come to?
I use Jesus for entertainment all
I
the
know
time.
You do.
Plastic Jesus on a spring.
I love
and
Jesus.
If you're in a band right now and you're wearing a shirt and tie on stage, fuck you. I hate you.
Hold on, let me make sure you get good bands and you like a shirt and tie.
Green Day's wearing one and they're
okay.
A good band.
And they're what?
Green Day's wearing one and they're a good band.
I was really hardcore for Green Day when I was like in seventh grade. They were like pretty.
Do you know Green Day's 30 plus years old now?
Yeah.
I read an article
over
about
30 is hot.
It is, because I'm going to tell you why. 80% of the bands in the top 40 right now,
over
30.
And I've dated half of them. Now.
System of a Down, Surge, is 37. Tom Morello, Chris Cornell, Audio Slave.
Oh, they're up there.
41.
They're up there. I seen it when I saw
right,
mine.
Right, 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 right.
I seen it.
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, she's an old fart.
35. So, I'm young in rock.
So he has like a whole like
I'm
you have
young
a long
and rock.
Time to become re- like
yeah, yeah, I'm good.
Music.
I'm good. Just when I was feeling old, I'm good.
You're like not even supposed to be established yet. You're not even
Eminem.
Supposed to been like in a band yet.
It's 33.
Huh.
Eminem's 33.
Well, that's irrelevant.
I'm not saying better or worse. I'm just saying yes.
That's
he
irrelevant.
Is.
We're not supposed to. We need to have a list of names we will not mention. On
you
got to
lose yourself in the music. I was watching.
What song
was,
is that?
It's one of Eminem's
okay,
songs.
When I
bring in my acoustic guitar, I'm going to play acoustic. I'm going to play that song acoustic.
Yeah.
It'll crack your ass up. It's great because I was watching the battle rap portion of his movie, The Eighth Mile.
Yeah. I've never
great.
Seen a full movie.
No, you don't. Just watch the battle rap sequence where they rap. It's like they used to have break dates and contests on the corner
yeah.
to show people what was up. Like they rip on each other like in rap. And then when one person rips harder, everybody's like, yeah. And the other person wins. Maybe I'm making fun of something I don't understand. I'm absolutely making fun of something I don't understand. Band's wearing shirt and tie. Stop it. I want to grab you by your tie and I want to choke you. Except.
You like went off on a limb there.
I'm looking
Flogging
at this picture.
Molly.
Flogging Molly has a tie on and they're cool.
Because they're Irish and they're
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, because it's a different look. It's not like the Avril Lavigne pop punk like emo angst look. If you're wearing an emo angst tie, fuck you. I want to choke
but
you.
But that's like the actual like Irish style, like
yes.
in Ireland.
Yes,
it's
that's
like,
cool.
So it's okay.
And if you have any questions about whether or not it's okay, call me. I'll be
yeah.
sure to tell it.
Email.
Or come
Log
see
in.
Us.
We'll let you know.
Right.
Before you go to that cool new rock show.
Don't wear the tie. Like,
well, like, well, we should.
I'm not
going to
mention this band's name, but look
like
at this press picture.
Yeah.
I want to beat them.
Yeah.
You.
But there are even some bands dressing that don't wear the tie, and it's horrible.
Yeah, I'm so,
you know,
like, unfashionable.
Whole, like,
if you want to see the anti-fashion...
My Chemical Romance thing.
Yes, that's the example right there.
The Used, everybody's... on drugs but not on drugs. That's irritating me. If you're going to look like you're on drugs,
hey, whiny,
on drugs.
Whiny pop punk.
Yeah, don't look like you're on drugs and not look on drugs.
I lost my chick in seventh grade.
If you're going to be whiny, you better be Robert Smith from The Cure. And guess what? You're not, so stop it.
Yeah.
That's my rants for today. That's all I have to say about everything. Where can you find Ari and I? We're going to tell you right now. Hey, on Friday, August 5th, I will be at a place called Di Piazza's in Long Beach. It's right on the Pacific Coast Highway. Long Beach, tic-tac. Watch your back. The LBC is going to be representing. No, we're going to be playing Rocks. 286 will be going on at 10. You want to see us come down to Di Piazza's? The instructions are on the website, 286music.com. You come see. It's very cool. It'll be a good show. It'll be fun. It'll be our first show back in L.A.
Yeah.
Since we were on tour. And if you want to kick politics with me or beat me or something, or yell at me, excuse me, because I'm wearing a shirt and tie.
You should.
No, fuck that.
No, you should.
I won't do it.
As a joke.
Ariel, no. On the same night, Ariel would not be at the show because Ariel is going to be
some little bitty gig.
She's going to be at a littler show. There's another show going on in Long Beach on the same day that there's not going to be as many people at, not as many people know about it, but they're a real good band. I think you should check them out.
Okay.
You know, they're going to be a lot of people at the 286 shows, you know, but these guys are a little older than us, and they're going to be, you know, you might want to support them. They're some bands called System of a Down. System of a Down,
right?
System of a Down and Mars Volta.
Volta.
Yeah, and Bad Acid Trip.
There we go.
You know, we
probably said something wrong, but I think
yeah.
That's right.
Their show's going to be going on where?
Yeah, their show's going to be Thursday at Long Beach Arena. You can still get tickets for that, actually. Seats, don't get it. I mean, we actually have, like, a shitload of floor tickets.
Ariel, sell you tickets.
Email me. Like, I'll sell you tickets.
We'll sell you tickets.
I'll sell you some shit.
We'll sell you Salvation. We'll sell you anything
yeah,
on the CDP.
And San Diego.
In the OBC.
They'll be in San Diego on Saturday, but I'm not going to be at the table. Don't go to the access desk table and try to find me on Thursday, because I'm going to be watching the damn show.
Which one are you going to be at the table
Oh,
at?
Yeah, the table I'm going to do Friday.
Friday,
but we're still
Friday's
waiting
in Long
for
Beach.
Wednesday on Long Beach. Wednesday we'll find the final confirmation if we are going to like do the table Friday.
Okay.
But it's most likely
Friday. Go visit Ariel at the access table. Yeah,
visit me Friday. Come to see me Friday. If I'm not there, if we don't do it, then I'll stay down there still and go to your show. But
yeah.
I think we'll pretty much do it.
That's cool. You should check it out. I would normally be there helping him with the access table, but I have to sing in this other band that I'm
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I even offered Adam a ticket, but he was like, no, that's okay. I think he has something against System of a Down.
No way. They're awesome. System's
just
badass.
Kidding.
No, they're good.
We love them.
Yeah, they're great stuff.
But Saturday you can get tickets still, too,
Mars
for
Volta.
Saturday, I think. You can. No, Adam's going to see Mars Volta. I'm honestly, like, if Access covers all my tickets because they're supposed to, because they're great, then I'm going to give Adam one of my tickets. I'm giving him because it's a sacrifice because he needs this. He needs
There's
this.
No saying that. I might sell that
life,
ticket in the parking lot before I even get to the venue.
I'm gonna have your ass like on watch.
Because the thing is, it's like, man, I could get a couple $100. Do you know what 286 could do with a couple $100? Like, I could be on tour again in like a couple $100.
You can go to fucking Europe.
Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm in.
I need to stop cursing. That was my whole new
Europe.
Thing, really. I'm trying
hey,
to
Hey, special thanks, though. We've got some folks in Europe that I'd like to give a special shout
okay.
out to.
Okay.
There's been some cool reviews coming back
right,
from the
right.
GUP. From Europe, from the Netherlands, from Italy, from South America.
Hmm.
We've got a manager in South America that distributes stuff.
Really?
He's awesome. Yeah, he's a real cool guy. I don't know him because I don't speak Spanish and I can't talk
yeah.
to him. He seems cool. They translate his messages
we'll
for me.
We'll teach you some Spanish, Adam.
I know some.
Okay, cool. We'll teach you more.
I can say that your mom works on a street corner.
What? How did your mom say that?
Works on a street corner.
How do you know where my mom works? No.
All right. Hey, this is Adam and Ariel. We wish you a great day. The books got our information. People we play today, NSW, Never Say Die, H-O-A, from Paper Street Records. Go to paperstreetrecords.com. We play them. Into the Buzzsaw by Christina Borgeson. Edited it. Great work. Amp Magazine, thanks for providing the pictures. Amp Magazine's cool people. ArizonaPunk.com. Check out the review on there. It's really cool. Thank you to Girl Underground Productions for... and Axis of Justice for Make the Civil Disobedience Project happen. Come see either 286 on Friday in Long Beach or go see Ariel at System of a Down show at Long Beach Arena where Iron Maiden recorded their legendary Live After Death album. Guess what? In August, Iron Maiden is getting their star on the Walk of Fame, and
Adam
I'm going to
be there.
I want to get Bruce Dickinson to sign my microphone.
Oh,
so every microphone
so
I
cool.
use, Bruce Dickinson will be with
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Are you really going to go?
Fuck yeah.
Okay, and check out all the blogs. I'm not going to rename them because we rename them every
go
damn
show. Go to
the blogs.
Get to them from the Girl Underground, GURRILLA.com. Go to the blog listings. We thank you, and we leave you with a song that I don't have up right now that I'm getting up like a man with Viagra.
Why was I thinking penis?
That's what I was saying.
I
we're going to get it up.
Penis.
And we're going to get this song up here because my computer's running slow. And this song is going to be... what do you think it should be? I think... Get off here. It's going to be... 154, Let the Power Fall.